Exodus chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. Bible says, reading from the Old Testament, "Then Moses told Aaron, 'Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" Would you say grumbling with me, please? Oh, do you want to hear the Lord to hear your grumbling? You want the Lord to call a meeting because of your grumbling? No. "Say to the entire," not just a part of them, "the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. Can you imagine that? Can I get a visual on that? They are grumbling. We're going to talk about that grumbling in a minute. They are grumbling against the Lord, and there he is in his glory. That scares me, folks. "Lord said to Moses, 'I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God.' That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'This is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent.'" They all lived in tents. We'll talk about that another time. "The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. And then Moses said to them, 'No one is to keep any of it until the next morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses.'" We got people who don't pay any attention to God. Amen? Doesn't go well. Can I get a witness on how many? Anybody in here ever just not paid attention to God? Go through sections of times in their life just not really caring? Doesn't go well. Can I get a witness on that? Man, they had an immediate feedback on that. "However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots." Oh my. "And began to smell. And Moses was angry with them." Lord, we come to you this morning knowing that you are mighty and knowing that you are awesome. Lord, knowing that you have a plan for us. Lord, knowing that you would do a work in us, Lord, that would transform our understanding, Lord, that you would be our God and that we would be your people, Lord, that we would conform our behaviors to your plan. Lord, that we would see your manifest presence in our lives, that we would see your mighty works revealed in us, Lord. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Yes, it's good to be in church. I'm going to tell you, these two fine men, would you two fine men stand up? That's you, Josh. Yeah. They went skiing a couple of weeks ago. You see the wing work on Josh. You guys can be seated. That's not from the skiing. No. And it's not skiing. It's snowboarding. And I had taken Joe skiing 2 years ago, last year. Wow, long time ago. It's like amazing how fast time flies, you know. And you know, he took just right to it. And that was like old school skiing, two skis, you know. And he came back and he said, "Man, this." I go, "How'd you do? This is good." He goes, "It's way different. It is totally different from skiing, because as you're going down the hill," that's Josh heading down the hill there. He goes, "You have to lean on the snowboard, kind of like a skateboard." And he goes, "That's not the hard part. The hard part is leaning back." Because there's this time when your weight is shifting, and he said you have to trust the board. You have to trust the fact that as you lean back, that board's going to catch you and you're going to be okay. And he said, it was a struggle all day long. But I figured it out. Let's see. Sorry, my slides are a little off. There we go. God wants his people to learn to lean on him. Amen? It can be a little bit scary because when you're shifting your weight and you're leaning back, you don't know if God's going to catch you the first time. And as you do it the second time, you say, I wonder if God is really going to catch me again. And then God is preparing a people. We have been in this series now for about 8 weeks, and God is responding to a cry from the Israelites saying, God, we're sitting here in slavery. Would you set us free? And God begins to work in Moses' life and does this incredible thing in the 10 plagues. And we talked about the plagues. And we talked about them leaving Egypt and heading out and Pharaoh's army coming after them. And they're right up against the Red Sea. And the Lord just does this incredible miracle and sets them free. But I want to let you know this morning that the Lord has more than freedom in mind for you. Amen? Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Amen. God wants us to learn how to find that fullness in life, and we find it as we lean and we trust, we put our faith in him. Right. We are learning about these Israelites. And they get out in the wilderness. I mean, we're talking, last week we looked at the Red Sea, man. Until then, they were in slavery. Right? We are talking about the first day of freedom. The second day. We take initially third day of freedom, man. And some of them are going, man, this freedom is not all that it cut out to be. I'd rather be a slave. The title of today's message is Living the Free Life. And the free life is entirely different from slavery. Amen? Let's take a look at how we're going to lean on the Lord. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, let's get through here. All right. Freedom has its challenges. I'll tell you what, the Israelites, man, they were moving through the wilderness. They were experiencing challenges. Let's read. We're going back to chapter 15. We were reading 16, okay? So we're going back 15, about a page. It says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. Okay, you know, we got the whole thing. Pharaoh's army is destroyed and all that kind of stuff. We talked about that last week. Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and there they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days. Would you say 3 days?
3 days.
3 days into freedom. 3 days. They traveled in the desert without finding water. They came to Marah, and they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. It stands for bitterness. The people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? People were expecting some water. 3 days into their freedom, out in the wilderness, they had never been in the desert before. They had spent their entire lives in Egypt by the Nile. Water was never an issue for them. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
Good to have you here, Sandra. I got all a little pumped up. There you go. Missed your clapping this morning, by the way, man. 3 days of freedom. 3 days heading to the promise. Hey, it's all good. They're out in the wilderness. They had plundered Egypt. What does that mean? It meant they had the treasures of Egypt. Now, can you imagine all the excitement? Woohoo! Look what I got, man. Pockets are filled. I got gold. I got silver. I got pearls. I got jewels. But after a day in the desert, after a couple days in the desert, water was a whole lot more precious than all the, in fact, all those jewels is something you just got to drag around. Oh, my. Yeah, I need some water. And so they're going through the desert, and they're thinking about this water, and they're going to the springs of Marah. Now, there's 3 million people. That is not the springs of Marah, by the way. That's just a picture I got off the internet. Actually, in Libya. But there is 2 to 3 million people traveling with Moses. That's a crew. Amen? Population of San Diego City, 3 million people. Can you imagine the population of San Diego roaming around in the desert of Saudi Arabia? That's a crew. Can I get a witness on that? So as they are going towards water, it's not just a little puddle that's going to hook them up. Amen? Because it's going to water not just the people, all their livestock. So, man, we're talking some water. And they're going, oh, there it is, man. And you know, I mean, look at that. Can you imagine how that would stand out? I mean, you're in the desert, man, and there's trees, and there's vegetation, there's all that stuff. And they're going, oh, man, the water's a day away. We can drink this much of our water that's left. And they'd be marshaling their resources. And they show up to the water, and all their expectations are crushed. All their hopes are dashed. And they're thinking, what are we going to drink? What is the Lord doing here? They get there and the water is bitter. And they can't drink the water. It's not just the water that's bitter. The people become bitter. And they start grumbling against Moses. And they start grumbling against God. What is up? Doesn't God know what he's doing? We're doomed. We're going to die. Now, they had just come 3 days. 3 days. They had just come through the Red Sea. Miraculous, mighty hand of God displayed. This was an opportunity. Roki, would you shut that other slide? No, we got these. Are they closed? Wow, them kids are loud down there. They had just come through the Red Sea, and they were freaking out then, right? What did he do? Did he just call her to be killed by Pharaoh? Again, what did he do? Did he just call us out here to die? Doesn't God know what he's doing? You know what? I don't think that the bitterness of that water was any surprise to God. Amen? God knows the beginning from the end. God knows the number of hairs on your head. You know, I took them youth to that event. And they started mocking my hairline. One in particular called me Sunnyside. Anyway, going back. Where was I? It just popped out right into my head. They had just come to the Red Sea. They had just seen the mighty hand of the Lord displayed. They had experienced all that stuff. And here was this opportunity for them to rely upon the Lord. God knew the challenge was coming. God was bringing them to that challenge. Why? So they could lean on him. Anybody had a challenge this week? Guess what? That challenge did not come as a surprise to our Lord in heaven. Amen? He knows the beginning from the end. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God knows a challenge is coming your way and does not steer you around it, he does it for one reason, so that you can learn to lean on him in the midst of your challenge. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God can handle bitter water. God can handle the Red Sea. God can handle a little bit of bitter water. Amen? Amen? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, Lord, can you hook me up? That's different than grumbling. Can I get a witness on that, right? You come running to the Lord to lean on him. Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water and the water became sweet. Folks, I want to let you know this is not a chemistry thing. We're talking water for 3 million people and livestock. It's not like, oh, yes, well, this piece of wood had some algae or something on it, and he threw it. You know what? There's all kinds of people that are going to try and explain away the mighty acts of God with a little bit of chemistry. This is a flat-out miracle, folks. Guess what? We serve a God that flat-out does miracles. Amen? Glory. Hallelujah. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree. There the Lord made a law for them, and there he tested them, and they failed. Why? Because they didn't lean on him. If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his command and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Lord can handle bitter water. Israelites failed their test. Many of you put your hand up and said, yeah, I had a challenge this week. How'd you do on your challenge? How did you do on your test? Did you lean on your own understanding or did you lean upon the Lord? Because if you have not yet learned to lean on the Lord, it was an opportunity for you to learn how to lean back and be caught by our healer. Amen? They leaned the other way. They fell on their face. Bitterness was no surprise to God. He was leading them into that challenge because he wanted them to grow strong. He says, I am your provision. I am your strength. And you will discover that as you pass through the challenges of your life, and that will be displayed as you move through those challenges and people ask you, how did you do that? You'll say, I was leaning on the Lord. Saeed Abedini, I probably am butchering his last name. An American citizen, born in Iran, living in Idaho, a minister of the gospel, who worked in Iran in the early 2000s in the home church movement, when the home churches were not illegal, was arrested on September 26th and has been in Iranian prison for the last 5 months. It was towards the end of January that he was sentenced to 8 years in Iranian prison for preaching the gospel. He is daily tortured. They drive nails into his hands and into his feet. He can no longer walk. His legs are shaky. His eyes are blurry. A letter came out just the other day. And every day, he is given the opportunity for freedom if he will only deny Christ. How do you stand up in the midst of that torture? How do you stand up when faced with that kind of abuse? It only comes when you learn to lean on the Lord and find strength in Him. Amen? All right, let's continue on. Freedom has challenges and freedom takes effort. I guarantee you, Pastor Saeed, it wasn't his first time out heading into Iran and spreading the gospel. That's a dangerous thing. Amen? We got that guy who came here, that missionary. He's in Egypt, man. He says, don't be telling anybody what I'm doing. They'll arrest me. We got that other lady that's in the, I can't remember, where did that lady go that came from the women's ministry? She was, she was going into, I think, Saudi Arabia. Where's Jordan? Yeah. We got people in harm's way. It's not their, this is their first rodeo, man. You don't run out doing a ministry in Iran on the first day. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. So, freedom takes effort. Hey, there's a cry room back there. You guys can head on back there and they just have a great old time. Freedom has challenges and freedom takes effort. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim, and they came to the desert of Sin. It's not sin like we're talking about. That's just an Arabic word, okay? So it's not the bad desert, no. Which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day, all right, we talked about earlier, right? The third day, right? Now we're talking about the 15th day of the second month, 45 days in. We were 3 days in, now we're a month and a half in. 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled. Can you say grumbled with me, please? See, they're getting good at the grumbling thing. You can get good at some bad stuff. How many of you have been good at bad stuff? Amen? You know, you can learn some bad habits. And God has given these people opportunities to break those bad habits. He said, the community grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the Israelites said to them, if only we had died, it'd be better to be dead than living this life that the Lord has for us. That is a bold statement. Amen? If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. Oh, slavery was so good. Oh, those Egyptians were treating us so well. Man, we just had couch time. We were eating meat and we were doing well and we were doing good. How many of you sometimes think about your old life thinking, boy, yeah. The good old days, the casinos were so good. That crack pipe treated me so good. Oh, if I just had a Budweiser. It was so good. So we can have some selective memory issues, man. We ate all the food we wanted, but you brought us out here into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. And they came and they surrendered their lives to the Lord, and they're thinking, this is not what we signed up for. This is not at all what we expected. 45 days into their freedom, and they are struggling. And I'll tell you today that the struggles of freedom give you opportunities for success. Amen? And they'll give you opportunities for failure. You guys raise your hand up and say, yeah, I had some struggles this week. Some of you had success, and some of you had failure. You can turn that failure around next week. Because guess what? God's not done with you. Amen? These people got 40 years in the wilderness. We don't know that yet. I'm just letting you know, I read ahead. And you know what? Every one of them, except for Caleb and Joshua, died in the wilderness. No shortage of opportunities to flip it around. This week you failed your test. Next week you're going to have another challenge. And you can learn to lean on the Lord. And He'll catch you. Amen? You know, they come out, they're 45 days in. Think about it, when you got saved, man. When you got saved, everything was so exciting. You got all the gold, all that kind of stuff. Man, they're 45 days in now, man. It's just turning the crank. There ain't no bands playing. It's just working it out. And so much of our salvation is just working it out. Amen? I'll tell you what, man. You head up to the casino, you can mess it all up in a day. But you want to be right? You want to be holy? You've got to put day after day after day after day after day after day together. And it starts adding up. And you start getting to be that holy person separated under God. The free life is a life of freedom, responsibility, choices, and option. And these guys didn't like it. There was great discontentment. They said, we'd rather be slaves. And there's people in this room that will make that same choice. I hope it's not you. Freedom is a daily exercise. He says, I'll feed you. He sent him quail, one-time shot. There's another reference to quail in Numbers chapter 11. But he sent manna every day for the 40 years they were in the wilderness. Says, the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven for you. These people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them. A daily test. You know the Lord has tested you daily? Lord gives you opportunities to grow and to prosper in Him. I'm going to test them and see whether or not they're going to follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they're to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. You know, this is a flat-out miracle, folks. Bread coming down from heaven, that's a miracle, amen? And you know what? It rots on the next day. Now, I don't know if that's what it did, but there's another miracle going on, because on Saturday, which is the Sabbath, there wasn't any on the ground. So there's either a miracle for 6 days or there's a miracle for one. Do you get what I'm saying? He's starting it and he's stopping it. There's a miracle in that. He says on Friday, you can get double the amount and it's not going to rot. So there's a miracle there. Are you tracking with me on that? Because all the other day it rots in one day. On Friday, it's good for two. And then he says, take a jar, put it in there, and it's going to be on display. And that lasts for 40 years and beyond. You know, our God is a miracle-working God. Amen? And He can do miracles back then, and He can do miracles today. He says, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven. And you go pick it up, and I want to see if you're going to follow my direction. And they said, some of them said, nah, we don't care what God said. That is so bold. I mean, here is God leading them by a cloud, leading them by fire, raining down bread at night, and they're saying, we don't care about this guy. You know people like that, amen? How many times has God made Himself real to you? My life over and over again, I look back on my life and I just see the hand of God displayed, because God had a plan. God had a plan for my life. And you know what? God has got a plan for your life too. Every person in here, God is calling. You get the opportunity to grow closer, learn to lean on Him, learn to find that fullness in life, or the opportunity to say, I don't care about you, God. He says, hey, just go out 6 days, pick up the bread. Pretty simple. Amen? You know what? The Christian life is often filled with a bunch of simple things. Because God knows if you can't handle the easy stuff, you can't handle the hard stuff. Amen? That Pastor Saeed, he was beyond the simple stuff. How did he get beyond it? By turning the crank day in, day out, doing the simple stuff. Like what? Well, one thing I passed out a little while ago, daily reading journal. Spending time in the Word of God. Are you doing it? Because if you don't, you won't be strong. If you don't, there won't be any fullness in your life. There won't be any strength in your life. What else? How about prayer? You're going to come to that prayer meeting? Saturday prayer meeting. I'm not going to that. There's a baseball game on. There's a football game on. There's golf on. There's something I'm doing. I ain't going to prayer. You know what? Opportunity to learn to lean on the Lord, or opportunity to lean on yourself. You get opportunity every day, every week. Got something new for you. We've talked about this as a staff. Talk about fasting. How many of you guys have ever fasted? Hands up. Fasted up. How many of you guys, there's some of you in here might not know, well, put your hand up. You fasted before. You know what? I'm totally blessed. All right, I'm just going to move. Fasting is not eating, okay? You do it unto the Lord. We're talking about fasting, a midweek fast on Wednesdays. Skip lunch. How many of you guys ever skipped a meal, just forgot, working, whatever like that? Just kind of move right through it, right? I'll tell you what, you fast on Wednesdays, you will be the hungriest you have ever been in your whole life. Can I get a witness on that? Because you know what? Because why? Because God wants you to experience that whole challenge. Man, He was leading them to that bitter water. He says, man, I want you to learn to lean on me. I'll tell you what, if you don't experience any hunger, you can learn how to lean on the Lord. God's going to make sure you are starving. This is just the start. We're talking about doing some more fasting stuff. But on Wednesday nights, for those of you who don't know, we have a meal at 6. So you eat your breakfast, go to work, go to school, whatever you do. When you come to lunchtime, grab your word. Jesus says what? I'm the bread from heaven, man. I am your bread. I am your sustenance. And the Word of God, man, it will sustain you. Crack your Bible. If you're a place where you can't crack your Bible, pray. Take that eating time and put a focus on the Lord, and you will be amazed what will happen in that afternoon. And when you come down to sit down, and George is making us good dinners on Wednesday, amen? Amen? You show up and say, man, I've been fasting, I can eat it. George, you're probably going to have to start making more food, buddy, man. They're going to come in starving. But I'm telling you, what's going to happen is you're going to start getting stronger day by day by day by day. And when that big challenge comes your way, you know what you're going to be able to do? Lean back on the Lord. Why? Because you've been learning how day by day by day. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Glory to God. All right, let's continue going. Freedom is a choice. Freedom has challenges. Freedom takes effort. And freedom is a choice. Choice. Chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Bible says, the whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water. We're back on the water. You know what? You got to think, man, he can handle Red Sea, he can handle the pit of water. Come on, he's a water God, man, we can do that. There was no water for the people to drink, so they quarreled. What were they doing before? Grumbling. Now they're quarreling. They're heading in the wrong direction. So they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. And Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put, Moses was getting it, amen? Why do you put the Lord to the test? He's testing you. It's not for you to test him. And again, they fail. The people, some people just don't get it. You know people who just don't get it? Some people who just can't figure out the plan of God for their lives. People are gone from grumbling to quarreling. They're heading in the wrong direction. Moses is not having it. What are you coming to me for? Israelites are moving away from God, and Moses is moving closer to God. I think I know why. Really, you can go back in the back room. Thank you. I think I know why. If you read chapter 17, verse 6, he says, go to the rock. You guys heard that part? He hits the rock with a staff, right? Water comes gushing out, right? Where's the rock at? The rock is at Horeb. Wait a minute. I remember Horeb. See, the Israelites are going through the wilderness, man. They're going, man, this is a drag, man. We're just going around. But Moses is headed home. Horeb, Mount Horeb, was the place where he first encountered God. Mount Horeb was where the bush was burning. Is that clicking in your mind now? And what did God say at the burning bush? What did God say at Mount Horeb? He said, Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, I will be with you. Guess what? God says, I'll be with you. Amen? Jesus says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You ever doubt that? You ever go, God, man, I'm here all alone. You've forgotten me. Man, it is natural to feel that when you don't know how to lean on the Lord. God told Moses, I will be with you, and this is going to be a sign to you. Do you remember that? We talked about it. It's like, man, we want the sign on the front end, not the back end. Amen? You tracking with me? This is going to be a sign for you that it is I who have sent you when you have brought these people out of Egypt. Where were they? They were in Egypt. Pharaoh was in control. Moses was freaking out. Moses was not buying what God was telling him, even though he was looking at the glory of God in a burning bush. This is going to be a sign to you. When you come out of Egypt, you will worship me where? On this mountain. Where is Moses heading? Back to the mountain. Can I get a witness on that? You see, Moses is moving home. He's going, and I know that rock. I know that bush. I know this stream. I know. And the people are going, man, we are headed nowhere. And Moses is saying, we are headed back to the promise. I am seeing the faithfulness of God with every step that Moses has taken. He is thinking in his mind, I cannot believe this. Every miracle, the 10 plagues, the Red Sea, the bitter water, all this stuff, all done to prove that I can lean on the faithfulness of God. And Moses is getting pumped step by step, and the Israelites are getting down and grumbling and complaining and quarreling step by step. Same steps, same everything, except they had been failing their tests, and Moses had been passing his tests. How'd you do in your quarrel this week? How'd you do in your challenge this week? Were you quarreling with God, or were you leaning on God? Then God, this looks so bad, but I'm going to lean upon you for my victory. Are we good? I got a little bit more. The Amalekites come. And attack the Israelites at Rephidim. And they complained and they grumbled. No, it's not there. Why? Because Moses says, Where? Then they had come through the rock. He's already been home. He's already seen the whole cycle. And there's an attack that comes from without. The Amalekites are coming. And Moses says, I got a plan. You guys, Joshua, take all the Israelites. You go down to war. I'm heading up the mountain. I'm going to go up the hill, and as the sun comes up, I'm going to raise the staff to heaven, and we're going to see God do what? Another miracle, because I have learned what? To learn how to lean upon the Lord when the challenges of life come against me. And Moses says, I got no problem. And he takes up Aaron, and he takes up Hur. He said, we're going to have a prayer meeting. We're going to find the fullness of God. And you guys are going to be doing some battle. I'm going to go fight the Amalekites tomorrow. I'm going to stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. And he responds to the attack with no question, with no doubt, with no debate. And as long as his hands are up, there is victory. And I want to know how you responded to the challenges of God this week. Did you put your hands up and say, oh Lord, oh God, this is more than I can bear, but I put my trust and I put my faith and I put my everything in you. I'm going to move into this challenge leaning upon you, leaning not on my understanding, but leaning upon your strength. How did you do this week? Did you pass or did you fail? God is looking for some people that are going to lean on him. And you're going to learn to lean on him when things are not smooth. How many had some less than smooth weeks? Isn't God good? God just brings them your way. Learn, say, lean on me, not on you, not on your hands. And you see the difference. How many people you know that are grumblers? How many people you know that are quarreling? All those challenges. And who do you know that's leaning on God and moving through? That could be you. A daily meeting with God. What an incredible contrast. Moses heading up the mountain. And the Israelites shaking in fear. Lisa, you want to come up and play? Many of you right now have got challenges that are coming against you. And you don't know how you're going to meet the challenge. And you've not yet learned how to put your trust in God. Moses said, I'm heading up the mountain. I'm going to raise my hands to him. And my help is going to come from heaven. Paul said, man, it is not flesh and blood that we battle against, but principalities of darkness that would come against us, and the powers of this dark world that would come against us. And I don't know what your challenge is, but this morning the Lord has allowed you to walk right into it. The Lord has called you into this place this morning so that you can hear from him saying, you can lean on me. We come to our communion table and we see what Christ paid so that you can lean upon Him this morning. And you might be like those boys learning how to snowboard. Well, it's scary the first time. Because I don't know if I can trust the board. I don't know if I can really trust the Lord. I don't know if He really cares about me. But this morning, you hear the voice of God speaking right to your heart saying, you can trust me. I called you here for a message like this so that you can lean on me, can lean on me, can lean on me, can lean on me, can lean on me.